a wonderful response that we had yesterday in the open house at the Good Samaritan House shelter. It was shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it was completely packed. So many people in the community that are interested in helping out there. And we're just so grateful for so many that have responded to that that ministry and to that need. And we just ask that you continue to pray that the Lord would just minister help and provide in this great need. We're in the book of Exodus again today. If you'll look there with me, that's where I've been for the last while, reading and studying in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2 is where we're going to read today. Exodus chapter 2, and we'll read beginning with verse number 1. There was a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word once again today. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless and anoint your word today to have an impact upon our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we were talking last Sunday about this whole story of Exodus and Moses and the great miracle of his birth and all that God did. And, you know, God positioned Joseph in Egypt to be there so that when his family came to Egypt, there would be provision for them. So through all of Joseph's betrayal and suffering and abuse, imprisonment, all the things that he suffered, God was working even through all those things to bring about the deliverance for the people of God. So God prearranged it so that they could be reunited, that their family could be reunited with Joseph, and God was getting them out of Canaan. We mentioned that last Sunday, that God was getting them out of Canaan because it was a land of idolatry. And he brought them to Egypt, and Egypt wasn't much better as far as their religion and their worship. They worshiped everything. They worshiped the Nile River. They worshiped animals. They worshiped pretty much everything. But God was preparing and using Joseph to prepare a place for them in Egypt called Goshen. And Goshen was a region to the north and the west that was a place that was perfectly suited for those that were to be herdsmen. Genesis 46 and 34, Joseph instructed and told his father, "When you go before Pharaoh, let him know that we're all herdsmen, And this is the area that we need to go through. Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So the Egyptians didn't want to have anything to do with them. They wanted to separate them. So Goshen became a place that they could be separate from all of the influences of Egypt. And they stayed in Goshen for 400 years. And the 70 that were a part of Joseph's family grew to likely 2 million or more in Goshen. And they were flourishing. I was reading about a canal that was built by Joseph and his family from the Nile River. It was a 200-mile canal that went right up through Goshen, and it turned that whole region into a tropical paradise. It was called Bear Yusuf. It's still, you can go online and see pictures of the canal. It's called the Waterway of Joseph. And they built it, and it turned that whole region, that 200-mile canal, turned that whole region into this special place, the land of Goshen became the most fertile, the most beautiful, the most fruitful, tropical paradise for all of Israel. Amen. Let me tell you, God is in the business of blessing his people. God loves to bless his people. And he positioned them there, and they grew and they expanded to this 2 million after 400 years. And the Pharaoh that now comes on the scene doesn't know or remember Joseph. But all he sees is their flourishing and their growth. And he begins to see them as a threat to him. And God had provided for them in such a wonderful way. But now the new Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph, all he could see was their growth and their expansion. And he decided, we're going to have to stop it. Do you understand that Satan sees every step of spiritual progress that you make, and he wants to stop it. And he'll do everything in his power to try to stop and to steal what God is doing in your life. He is a thief. Satan is a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he brings them under hard taskmasters. We talked about this a little bit last week. They served with rigor. I mean, it was awful what they suffered under this dominion. But he also wanted to stop their growth and keep them and hinder them from growing, but he wanted them to worship their gods. And the Nile was the center of all of the Egyptian culture. They believed that the Nile was a god, and they worshiped the Nile, and actually threw gifts into the Nile at certain seasons of the year. They would throw their treasures and their valuables into the Nile River as sacrifices to worship the Nile River. And so it was just the natural thing for them then to begin to decide, we're going to destroy all the male children that are born to these children of Israel. We're going to destroy all these children. And they commanded that all of them be thrown into the river. So it was a part of not only cutting down the numbers of people and destroying the progress and the growth of the nation, but it was also a worship to the Nile River as well. And then bringing them under the dominion of and making them all slaves, all in an effort to try to destroy the plan of God. That was really Pharaoh's strategy. He wanted to destroy the people of God, and he was going to murder all of these little babies. Now, if you remember, we talked about the fact that there were 600, when they left and exited Egypt, there were 600,000 men on foot, meaning there were 600,000 men that were capable of being footmen, fighting soldiers. That doesn't count the women and the children. So that's how we get the number that there could have easily been 2 million of people. But can you imagine those 600,000 men, most of them, no doubt, had wives and were having children. And so when a baby was born, they no doubt dreaded the birth of a baby boy because they knew that that baby boy was going to be thrown to the Nile River. Can you imagine the grief in the households of those children of Israel whenever a new baby boy was born, knowing that it was condemned even before it was born to be thrown to the Nile River? What a horrible, horrible thing. But the Bible says in the text that we read today that there was a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and this woman conceived, and she bare a son. But this was going to be a different situation. Everything was going to be different about this situation, because this was a mother and a father that was not going to accept the judgment that was going to fall to their little baby boy. They determined, we're not going to allow this to happen. So this morning, I just want to encourage you that taking a stand, if you're willing to take a stand for what's right, that you'll experience the help of God. If you'll take a stand, you will see the hand of God working and delivering. When you do what's right, when you make a righteous decision, when you determine to do God's will and to live according to the plan of God, as I mentioned, 600,000 men, potentially that many families, that many couples, and all of them, when a boy or child was born, a little baby boy was born, thrown to the river, it was commanded. If they didn't obey the command, their whole family would be, no doubt, come under the judgment of Pharaoh if they didn't obey the command. But this was a mother and a father that said, no, we're going to take a stand. We're not going to accept this. We're not going to do it. You know that God is looking for men and women and young people who are willing to say, no, no, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to follow the edict of the world or the command of the world. I'm not going to do that. The eyes of the Lord are searching throughout the earth, looking for someone. He wants to show himself strong in your behalf. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our generation, in our day and time right now, for a people that are willing to take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to go along with this. I'm not going to allow the world to swallow up my life or my family or my household. I'm going to take a stand. And here's the encouraging thing. If you're willing to take a stand, you will see the hand of God begin to work in your behalf. Praise God. Amen. You may feel isolated. You may feel all alone, like no one else is taking a stand for godliness and righteousness and purity and holiness and following the will of God and the word of God. You may feel like no one else is doing it. But if you'll take a stand, if you'll live by the word of God, if you'll follow the pattern of God's word, you will experience God's mighty hand of deliverance in your behalf. Praise God. Amen. So can you imagine this? What a time to grow a family in a time when the baby boys are being murdered. What a horrible time of grief in the households of people. No doubt their hearts were broken and crushed when a little baby boy was born in their household. But God was going to do something mighty in this young couple that they saw him, that he was a goodly child. Now, that doesn't just mean that he was a beautiful child, because we know that every mother and father believes that their babies are beautiful. Amen. We all do. And as Brother Huff used to say, He had a little statement that he made. It didn't matter if the baby was beautiful or not so beautiful. He would just say, "That's a real baby. That's a real baby." And he figured it out. He knew what to say. Well, not every baby is beautiful when they're first born. Except for Marsha and I, ours were. But I understand that. But this was a mother and a dad that saw something in this little baby. They saw something special in this little baby. It says she saw him, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. And so for 3 months, she was pouring into him. She was investing into him. You say, well, what is a little three-month-old? What can they know? I got to reading about what babies, even before they are born, can learn. And it's pretty incredible. They learn to distinguish the taste of the food that their mother is eating when they're in their mother's womb, just in the first trimester. They learn to distinguish certain sounds and even languages when they are in the first trimester before that baby is ever even born. So you can imagine a little baby that is 3 months old. That's a mother that could invest in that little baby. And she saw in him. She had perception. She realized, my little boy has potential. There's something. The hand of God is upon my little boy. And she saw him. It wasn't just that she saw that he was beautiful. She perceived that the hand of God and the call of God was upon him. She didn't just see a little baby boy. She saw a prophet. She didn't just see this little baby boy. She saw a deliverer for Israel. She saw a lawgiver in Moses. She saw the potential of his life. And let me tell you, parents, and I believe that it's important for us as parents and even grandparents to see the potential of the lives of our children. And even when they're very young, to understand the hand of God can be upon them and that they can know the things of God and they can understand and grow in the knowledge of the Lord at a very young age. Now, the miracle that took place because they took a stand, the miracle that took place was a multifaceted miracle, actually, because the fact that Pharaoh's daughter found the baby in the bulrushes and took her and then paid the actual mother to nurse the child until he was age. And that nursing period could have been 3 years or more, 3 to 5 years. So you can imagine that God prearranged so this mother not only invested in Moses till he was 3 months old, but potentially till he was 5 years old. That mother was pouring into him and ministering to him and touching his life, and his spirit is being touched by the influence of this godly mother that saw that he had potential, and she took a stand to do what was right. Amen. Praise God. Now, she did obey the command of Pharaoh. She did put him in the river, but she didn't do it without providing protection. She had a plan of protection. Amen. Amen. It's obvious you can't protect your child from everything that's in the world. I mean, we live in the world, so you can't protect them from everything. You certainly can't isolate them from every influence of the world. But you can build an ark for them. You can provide some protection for them. You can surround them with the truth of God's word. You can invest in them in godly things and righteous things. You can build an ark for your sons and your daughters and protect them from all the influences of the world. Sure, she obeyed the command of Pharaoh. She eventually put him in the Nile River, but not without a plan of protection. Amen. Not only did she build carefully an ark of protection, but she also positioned the sister to keep an eye on him, to watch him, and to make sure that nothing happened to him. It was a plan of protection. I'm telling you, moms and dads, grandparents, and sure, there's, you can't protect them from every influence of the world, but you can build a protection around them and secure them in the things of God. Have a godly home. Keep them in the house of God. Protect them from the influences of the world by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. You can build and provide a place and a plan of protection for them. Amen. Don't send them out into the world without a plan of protection. The world is the enemy. The world will bring destruction. We know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5. But God was working a plan for Moses. God had a plan. She saw that he was a goodly child. And she saw the potential of his life. And she made a plan of protection to preserve him and to keep him. And she saw God move. Because she took a stand, she saw the hand of God working in Moses' preservation. Praise God. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. Now the Bible says that at that end of that period that Pharaoh's daughter takes him into the palace. And he learns some things. He is trained in all the ways of Egypt. He's educated in the ways of Egypt. Now, literally, Moses, you know, there's a contradiction, or it seems to be a contradiction, because when Stephen gives his history just before he's martyred, he talks about Moses and him being educated in all the ways of Egypt and saying that he was mighty in word and deed. And that seems to be a contradiction, because Moses, whenever he's called of God, he says, I'm limited in my speech. He was saying, I have a speech impediment. I can't speak. I don't have the ability to speak. But what he did have was the ability to communicate. And he was able to communicate through his writing. And there's like six times in the scripture where it refers to Moses and his writings of the history and his writings. And we know that Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament, were written by the hand of Moses. And so he was a communicator. He was a writer. He was mighty in word and deed. He wrote the pages of the scripture as he was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write. And God was preparing him for the task. He was trained to be able to write in the household of Pharaoh. And thus he was able to inscribe all of the words as he was inspired of the Spirit to write Genesis through Deuteronomy. The Pentateuch was provided through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost through the hand of Moses. And God prepared him down there in Egypt to be able to do that. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In Acts 7 and 23, a part of Stephen's message, it says that when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Why did it come into his heart? Well, because his mother invested in him those first 3 months. And then when he was returned to her for that period that she was nursing him till he was 3 years older, all of that time she was investing and pouring into him and giving him the truth and the law of God and the love of God was being invested in him. And so when he was grown, even in the household of Pharaoh, it came into his heart to care about what was happening to the children of Israel. Praise God. Amen. So the plan of God was coming together. Amen. Just because this mother and father took a stand and said, no, I'm not going to accept this. No, I'm not going to throw my child to the Nile. Or I guess we could say, I'm not going to throw my child to the world. I'm not going to throw them to the world unprotected. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to preserve them. I'm going to see the hand of God at work. And if you're willing to take a stand and say no to the influences of the world upon your household, your family, your children, then you will see the hand of God helping you. Amen. You will see God's hand. Amen. So in Moses' life, instead of being built up, you know, puffed up in pride, and because of his education, there was an earlier education that was put into his heart by his mother that influenced him and impacted his life and caused him, his heart to be touched and to realize, I don't know at what point, but at some point, I believe he recognized, I've got a call of God. I am to be the deliverer for Israel. I believe that when he went out and he prematurely tried to take that position, and he slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Even when he did that, I believe that he thought he was to be the deliverer. He just got things out of the right timing in the right way that he was to do it. But he understood it was in his heart to be that. It took the wilderness, another 40 years in the wilderness, for him to finally recognize that he needed the hand of God and the power of God to be able to do what God was calling him to do. Praise God. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and in deed. And God used him mightily. Amen. I just want to encourage you, moms, dads, and family members, that sometimes it's difficult. Can you imagine the challenge of saying no, the fear of the judgment of Pharaoh falling upon their household, but they were willing to take a stand because they recognized that he was a goodly child. They recognized that the hand of God was upon him and that God had a future for this child, Moses. Amen. And God was going to use him in a mighty way. Something about moms and dads. Moms and dads can see in their children what nobody else can. Amen. You can see the potential of your family, your children, like nobody else can. You see their strengths, you see their weaknesses, and if you use wisdom in directing their lives, then you build on those strengths, and you encourage those strengths. You do what you can to push them in the direction, to train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to train them up in the way, the direction that they should follow, so that when they grow, they won't go away from it. They'll follow the call of God that is upon their life. Amen. If you'll take a stand, you'll see the hand of God at work in their lives. Now, it may not be immediately, but eventually you'll see the hand of God working and moving in their lives in wonderful ways, because God has helped you to take a stand in the face of all of a culture that is so anti-God and anti-God's word, that it's challenging. It is. It's a challenging thing to take a stand and do what's right and follow the righteous cause. But I just want to encourage you to make that commitment. I am going to do that. I'm going to see in my family, I'm going to see that little boy is going to grow up to be a man of God. That little girl is going to grow up to be a woman of God, and that they have a call of God. They have a divine purpose in their life. Amen. Praise God. Little babies are precious and wonderful, but they grow up really fast, really fast. And you can see the hand of God. We see that around here all the time. In so many of the young people and the children that are in our school, you can see as the years go by, you can see they develop in their gifts and their talents and their abilities. And you just kind of watch it as through the years, they're developing and growing and becoming young men and young women. And it's an amazing thing to see the hand of the Lord upon a young person's life. Praise God. I believe it's time that we take a stand, not cave in to the commands of the world and the ways of the world and all of the influences of the world, but take a stand
And if you're willing to do it, you can believe just like God supernaturally worked for Moses' mother and father to preserve the life of Moses. And God can work in your household as well. He can move in your family as well if you'll take the stand. Amen. To live the life that God has called you to give. Amen. Your home, your family can be an environment where your children can grow up to know the things of God. Let me tell you, it's a short little span of time that you have. And I believe that that Moses' parents recognized that. She recognized, I've just got this little 3-month period of time. I've just got this little short, maybe 3 years or a few years. I've just got this little span of time that I can invest in Moses. But it was enough. It was enough. The seeds were sown in his heart so that when he got older, it came into his heart to love his own children, to love his own people, and to step out and to become the deliverer for the children of Israel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Take a stand for what's right, and God will show himself strong in your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful example in the word of the Lord. And I just pray, Lord, today for families, mothers, fathers, and grandparents, extended family members, Lord, that you would help us to see the potential of the lives of our children and our young people, and help us to see it, Lord, so that we can nurture it, so that we can help them, so that we can sow the seeds of truth into their heart, so that when they're older, Lord, they'll step into the plan of God for their life. God, in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you'd bring encouragement, Lord, to every family and to every household today, that they would see the potential of the lives of their family members, their children, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Could we stand, everybody?